heavily, like I am, and we both stumble toward a small outcropping of black rocks to sit upon. The rest of the party does the same, collapsing in heaps of exhaustion. I take in our surroundings to determine where we are. The terrain has changed considerably from the other side of the mountains. The mountains themselves jut sharply into the sky behind me, which I guess is to the south. There are more mountains to the north, tall and snow-capped, but where we are is absent of snow, and it actually feels a bit warm for being this far north. The ground, too, looks out of place. Black shale covering the ground like chipped asphalt. "You okay?" I ask, looking to Gilly. She nods.
"I am now. That was crazy."
"Tell me about it."
"Are you okay, Rem?"
Gilly asks the cyberpunker, no doubt referring to his arm. Rembrandt wipes a handful of sweat from his bald head.
"Good as new, Gills. Thanks for that."
"I've never seen anything like that before," Valhelena says, her eyes staring ahead of her into space.
"That Omega."
"Yeah," Iko says. "Good thing they can't enter the safe zones."
"No kidding," I say. As I speak, my brother darts his eyes to me. "Let's go," he says. He stands up, and the rest of the group goes quiet. I sigh and reluctantly stand as well. Guess it's time to face the music. Gilly gives me a little nod and squeezes my hand.
"You guys will be all right. Just talk it out."
"Thanks, Gilly." I hope she's right. I follow Maxis around a small bend, out of sight and earshot of the rest of the group. He folds his arms as he puts his back to me. I'm not sure what he's about to say, but I decide to beat him to the punch.
"Look, I'm sorry I lied about everything, okay? You're right to be pissed at me."
He doesn't say anything for a moment, and then he turns around.
"You're damn right I'm right to be pissed. I feel like punching your stupid block off."
A river of guilt runs through me, but a twinge of defiance does too.
"Hey, I said I was sorry, okay? I can't take back what I did. You think I enjoyed seeing you nearly get killed just now? Because you were pissed off about something I did?"
The memory of seeing Mike get hit by that guardian replays through my mind, and a hard lump forms in my throat.
"I thought you were dead, man. But if you want to keep punishing me for something I—
Just shut up, all right?" He cuts me off, and silence falls between us. I don't know how to feel right now. Angry, ashamed, relieved, guilty? All of them could apply.
"Mike, I lied because I—"
"I'm not pissed off at you about that." He cuts me off again. And then he speaks, but more calmly this time, his tone soft. "I'm more pissed off at myself." He goes quiet again and stares up at the mid-afternoon sky.
"What are you talking about?"
He releases a sigh and sits down on one of the blackened rocks.
"Take a seat, man."
I hesitate for a minute, but then he gives me a stare.
"Please?"
I release a sigh of my own and walk over to plop down on a rock next to him.
"What?"
"I've had a long time to think about this while we were running here," he says.
"Yes.
Me getting pissed off nearly got me killed. Nearly got us all killed. And I don't like that. But that was my fault, not yours."
"Wow, I wasn't expecting that from him."
"So you're saying you're really not mad that I kept all that stuff a secret?" He releases a guffaw.
"Of course I am, you idiot. But probably not for the reason you think."
Now I'm really confused. I furrow my brows at him.
"What?"
"Look, we've both been keeping secrets," he says, turning to me. "I admit that. Heck, I've been the king of it these last couple years. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised you're good at it, too. It's pretty much in our DNA. And I guess I can understand why you did it. Honestly, I think you were right."
"What?"
"I didn't get mad because of what you did, Ryan." He pauses, looking skyward in reflection. "Well, maybe initially I did, I guess. But I really got mad because you were right." This was a turn of events I didn't expect.
"Right about what?"
"About how I would have reacted," he says. "I would have done exactly what you said. I would have told Val that we've got higher priorities and gone down to check out that mine. And in hindsight, it probably would have been the wrong call. I wonder if he's just saying this to make me feel better or something.
You really think so?
I've been to the surface 4 times now, Maxis says, and I haven't been able to save anyone. If we have a shot at saving Val's sister, then we should take it. Like you said, she could have minutes left to survive. We've still got 6 months to try to save everyone else. He looks at me again and frowns, which I still don't have any clue how to do, by the way. For the first time, I see my brother look dejected and unsure. He's always so full of confidence that I guess I kind of take for granted that he just always knows what he's doing. I never considered that maybe it was more bravado than self-assurance. I'm pretty sure everything I discovered will help with that, I say, patting him on the shoulder. Once this is over, we can all sit down and puzzle it out together. That's what I've been itching to do too, honestly. I just didn't want it to distract us from what we need to do for Val. Maxis lets out a chuckle. Yeah, I get that. He looks at me with a squint in his eyes. You got good instincts, Ryan. Judgment, too. Something I don't, apparently. He kicks at the black shale, looking disgusted. Hey, don't say that.
Nah, it's true, man, he says.
You're like Mom. You think things through, weigh the options and consequences. Use wisdom, make good calls. Me? I'm just a stupid, hot-headed punk who reacts with my gut. It's no wonder I've been out here, failing all this time. Filling up on Nano just to go back empty-handed each run. I got no idea how to figure this stuff out. Whoa. I never expected my brother to say something like that. I feel a warmth grow between us as he actually opens up to me. Not just as an older brother, but as an equal. Someone he can talk with on the same level now. Back when we were in Stormwall, I did the exact same thing, he laments. I've been so caught up in this us versus the AIs crap that I didn't even consider how much of a prick that guy Braxis could turn out to be. I let my prejudice blind me, expected him to just get on board because he was human. And we paid the price for it. I think back to the whole Braxis situation, and a sickness gnaws at my gut. Hey, you're not the only one who made mistakes. I think of Diana and my promise to her. We still need to do something about that guy, too. I promised Diana I would. Maxis releases a scoff. Another one I misjudged. Who'd have thought an AI could be more decent than a human being? I stay quiet as we both digest that one. Hey, it's not your fault, man, I say eventually. You failing out here, I mean. You've been going at this pretty much alone. Maybe all of this happened for a reason. Maybe we're all here so we can help you. He shakes his head a little. I don't know. Gilly's dad put so much faith in me, but sometimes I wonder if I'm really the guy for the job.
Are you kidding me, man? I balk at him. After seeing you take on that guardian, there's no doubt.
He just shrugs.
Yo!
I slug him hard, but playfully, in the shoulder.
Stop with that defeatist BS, man! You're like the coolest, most badass guy I know. Honestly. And I'm not just saying that because you're my brother.
He laughs, rubbing his shoulder.
Yeah, whatever, man. Seriously. You've got what it takes, Mike. I tell him honestly. You just need a new perspective. Maybe what I found can provide you with that. We'll find Citadel. We'll save everyone. We'll save Mom. And we'll do it together.
He chuckles and gives me a nod. All right. Together. Plus, you're dating one of the coolest, hottest chicks I know, besides Gilly, of course. I give him a grin. That's gotta count for something. That gets another laugh that we both share. Thanks, Ryan, he says, and extends his hand. For everything. I clasp it, and we embrace in a hug. No worries, man. I love you, bro. I love you, too. We pull away with a laugh, and I can already feel an even stronger bond growing between us. I do wonder how you kept coming back here so many times in a row, though, I say. After seeing that Omega, I would have called it quits for good. He just laughs again. The thought does remind me of something else, though. Something I'd wanted to ask Mike before, but I'd have to reveal another secret to do it. Hey, I never told you, but... I say, lowering my tone to become serious again. Back in the Hab, I followed you one night. To your meeting with Gilly's dad. He blinks at me with surprise. What? Yeah, sorry. It was after I fixed my legs. I wanted to see where you were going every night. He stares at me, perplexed, until eventually he shakes his head and chuckles. Don't worry about it. Ancient history now. I take that as my all clear to ask my question. I remember Gilly's dad saying something to you that night. I try to recall the conversation in as much detail as possible. Something like, you've got other reasons for coming here? What did he mean by that? My brother squints his eyes, but looks away. I don't really remember. Did he not remember, or does he just not want to say? He said you had more reasons to come to the surface besides just saving Mom. My brother continues to look away, but his eyes glisten. He's holding something back. But what? Come on, man. You can't seriously be keeping more secrets. What happened to all that crap we said just now? He shakes his head. I don't know if I should. What? I stand up, frustrated. Come on, Mike. He looks up at me. Look, some things aren't good to know, okay? I match his gaze. If you meant what you said about me just now, then trust that I can handle whatever it is you have to say. If it's a burden, then let me bear it with you. That's what I'm here for. I'm your brother, man. Mike looks away for a moment more, contemplating it, and then lets out a sigh. All right, bro. One last secret, I guess. He turns back to me and says, You heard right, Ryan. Even after we saved Mom and Citadel, I'd still come back out here, because saving them is not the main reason I come to the surface. What? My heart beats faster as I ask, afraid of the answer. Then why? Why are you here? Maxis looks away from me, out into the darkness of the wild. Because I think Dad's still out here. Chapter 39. House Call. Bruce Peters rapped on the hatch of the habitat and took a healthy step back from the front door. He'd sent a message that he was coming, but purposely hadn't called to ensure that Gina Roberts wouldn't shoot him down over the comm. Anxiety built within his gut as he waited for the door to be answered. In his hands, he clutched the small communication device that served as his excuse for paying her a visit. A small plastic cylinder no bigger than a pen top, which would relay the vitals of Mike and Ryan Roberts directly to their mother. If she accepted it. A bang from behind the hatch caused Bruce's heart to race. He cleared his throat and put on his practiced politician's smile. He almost thought against it. This woman smelled bullcrap a mile away, and that smile was full of it. But it was too late to drop it when Gina Roberts finally opened the hatch and stood behind the door. Yes, she said. Gina's deep blue eyes were still fiery, and Bruce could feel every ounce of her disdain. Thanks for allowing me to stop by, Bruce said, still unable to drop that stupid smile. He fumbled with the comm device and held it out toward her. I wanted to give you this. Personally. Her eyes relaxed a bit with interest, but then squinted with suspicion. What is it? A monitoring device, he said. I've had your son's vital readings relayed to it. They update in real time. If their conditions change, it'll alarm. Gina frowned. And should I be worried about that happening? Damn, this woman really knew how to make him squirm. It's a precaution. I just thought you'd want to know as soon as possible. He then added quickly, if anything were to occur, that is. She looked at the device in his hand a moment more, and then took it from him. Thank you. Gina Roberts turned her back, and the hatch began to close. Shame and impotence crept up Bruce's spine like a serpent made of ice. He wanted to say more, do more. But what could he say, aside from revealing everything?
I remember your husband, he blurted out, and the door stopped.
She didn't say anything, but Gina Roberts looked back at him through the crack in the door with those accusing blue eyes.
He was a good man, Bruce said, skilled and selfless. It was an honor for me to have known him.
Did you do some research? Gina said. Bruce furrowed his brows together.
I'm sorry?
You barely knew him before when I asked. I'm guessing you had time to jog your memory?
Bruce laughed. To be completely honest, I...
Bruce caught himself and paused. Should he say more? He sighed inwardly. They could all be dead in 6 months anyway. What did it matter? He dropped the smile and spoke soberly.
Honestly, there are times I wish I could forget him.
Her gaze softened, perhaps realizing the gravity of the admission he'd just made. She looked down to the floor for a moment and then back up at him.
Would you like to come inside for some tea?
Bruce Peters put on a smile, a real one this time.
Yes, I think I'd like that very much.
My mind is awash in a turmoil of emotions. My father, a man I never knew, never had a hope to know, is alive? I say it out loud, just to make sure I'm thinking straight.
Dad's here on the surface.
Alive?
Might be, Maxis stresses. Emphasis on might.
I spin in a circle, my hands atop my head, kicking black shale everywhere. I can't believe this.
What the heck, man? Are you serious? How? Does Mom know?
Take it easy. Maxis pumps his palms toward me in a slow-down gesture.
See? This is why I didn't want to tell you.
Are you crazy, man?
I still can't believe this. Dad's here on the surface, and you weren't going to tell me?
I said I think he might be here. And if he is, I don't know where to find him. Maxis frowns a little.
Not yet.
He might as well be Citadel, with as much luck as I've had looking for him.
But how do you even know it's a possibility?
I ask, sitting down next to him again. My mind is racing, and I can barely keep still.
My dad. Holy crap. My dad!
Maxis sighs.
Because his body is still stuck in stasis back home.
My heart thunders in my chest.
And Mom doesn't know this?
No. They keep all this stuff a secret, even from the family. Like I said, keeping secrets is in our DNA. Dad never told Mom a thing.
Holy cow.
I've seen images and videos of my dad. Mike resembles him a lot, except for the eyes. Dad's were brown. We got our crystal blues from Mom, I guess. Still, I can imagine him heading out of the hab in secret, much like Mike did. It's no wonder Mom was always so worried about Mike. He was probably giving her flashbacks.
So, Dad was a shard warrior like us, then?
One of the best, according to Gilly's old man. Maxis folds his arms. They did it different back then, though. I don't think they used the shards like we do, with the world bosses granting access and stuff.
No?
Dennis added that, I think, to make the most of the limited transmission times in Nano, to make sure whoever we sent was the best. But I think, back in Dad's day, they used to just train on the games and then get sent out for real. No restrictions. They still had to beat an AI to make the interface, but no fake world boss stuff. The people who were sent knew what they were getting into, and were prepared for it.
Man, how do you even know this stuff, Mike?
He shrugs. I won a PvP tournament, got sent here, survived somehow, and then when I got back, I woke up in stasis and was basically recruited by Bruce.
And Mom didn't notice?
He chuckles.
You didn't either. I was always out of the house, remember? Mom just figured I was shacking up with some chick, and I wasn't ever gone for long, a couple days, tops.
But I thought the world bosses only spawned once a month.
They do, but the PvP match sets the primer code, remember? Some team must have defeated a world boss right after I entered, so as soon as I got the permission to log out, I was gone.
Wow, I say. That must have been crazy scary for you the first time.
Maxis eases back on the rock, his hands behind his head.
You don't even want to know, man. But after that, I got debriefed by Bruce. He explained who he was, and then he told me all about Dad. It's been my mission to find him ever since.
Holy crap. I can't believe it.
Does Bruce think Dad's alive too?
I don't know. Bruce said Dad's in some kind of really deep, coma-like state, more so than just normal stasis. He doesn't know what to make of it, only seen it happen a couple of times. He said that after a year, they made his death official and told Mom. I think you were only 2 or 3 at the time. I nod, almost wishing that I could remember back that far.
His condition hasn't changed in all that time?
15 years, man, Maxis says, shaking his head. No change. A sinking feeling hits my stomach.
You don't think that he might never come back, do you?
That's why I said might. It's why we can't ever tell Mom about this, either. Not unless we actually find him. Alive. He looks at me sternly. She's already lost Dad once, grieved for him and all of that, understand? Opening this up would be more than cruel. It'll send her off the deep end.
I can understand that, I say. But don't you think that maybe it might give her hope, too?
Maxis frowns. Hope can be a dangerous thing. It's what caused her to get sick in the first place. My eyes go wide.
What are you talking about?
Another story I probably shouldn't tell you, but since we're clearing the air, like I said, they did things different back then. In the old, old days, Bruce said they used to send people out physically, in suits and stuff. When Dad went on his excursions, that's what they told Mom and everyone else was happening. That they were on scouting missions to the old world. But in reality, they were in stasis, being beamed and printed in nanoform, just like us. When Dad didn't come back, they said he went missing during an excursion on the surface, which technically wasn't a lie when you think about it. But to Mom, it meant something completely different. After a few months of them telling her they couldn't find him, she decided to take matters into her own hands.
What did she do?
Maxis chuckles. You know Mom. She used her maintenance access to get to the top of the hub and went outside through a vent shaft to go look for him herself.
Holy crap!
It's how she got exposed to the radiation, Maxis says, and then pauses before grimacing, reflecting perhaps on Mom's current condition. I do as well, and I can't help but think how brave she must have been to do that, to risk her life to find our father, especially at the risk of leaving 2 young kids behind. I think after that is when they decided to call it quits on searching for Dad and told Mom that they found him dead. Maxis pauses to swallow a lump in his throat. I don't ask, but the thought must stir up memories for him. I was only 2. But he would have been old enough to remember the day they came to tell Mom that Dad was dead. It must have been traumatizing for him. They gave her his wedding band as proof, but told her his body was unrecoverable. I guess they were worried she'd keep heading out to look for him if they didn't. They were probably right, too, knowing her. I begin to understand what my brother meant now, about hope being a dangerous thing. It can lead to desperation.
Oh, man. My head is swimming.
So, Gilly's dad knows all of this?
Maxis nods.
Trust me, I belted him a good one when he first told me. But after a while, I understood why they had to do it. To protect Mom. To protect us. The one thing he did say was that Dad had the reflexes of a mongoose, and that he couldn't understand what could have happened to him up here. That was his nickname, by the way.
What, mongoose?
He chuckles.
Stupid, right?
He said I was a chip off the old block. Fast, just like him. My brother smiles at me. I think you are, too. Maybe even more so.
Whoa.
That's a pretty amazing compliment coming from him.
You know what?
Maxis breathes out a long sigh that ends in a whistle.
I actually do feel better telling you all that crap.
Thanks, man. I look at him, perplexed, and then drop my gaze to the ground.
I don't know what to think.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, right?
Totally. I can hardly believe it. My dad could be alive, and we could find him. You can't go telling Gilly or anyone else, though, Maxa says. Way too much crap to explain. Yeah, no doubt, I say. I guess we're still keeping secrets. Like I said, it's in our DNA, he shrugs. But hey, I guess sometimes it's the only choice you have, right? Especially if it means protecting a loved one. I can't argue with him there. So, what do we do now? He scoffs at me, like I just asked the dumbest question in the world. What we came here to do, stupid, he grins at me. You get to tank the Shadow King. Chapter 40. Preparation. I spend the next few minutes sitting quietly with my brother, reflecting on my dad. It still feels like a bit of a dream to me, and I can't keep the smile off my face. Of all the things Mike could have been hiding, this was the last thing I would ever have thought of, but at the same time, it's also the most amazing. I think of my mom back in Citadel and whisper a promise to her. I'll find Dad. I'll bring him home to you. I look over at my brother and smile. We'll do it together. We'll find our dad and be a family again. Be the family I never got to have. You ready? Maxa says, finally. I give my brother a nod as I push those thoughts aside to focus on the present. It's time to do what I came here to do. What Val Helena put all her trust in me to do. It's time to defeat the Shadow King. Maxis and I reemerge from our impromptu family counseling session to see the whole team waiting for us on pins and needles. It almost makes me laugh to see them all so pensive about the outcome of our conversation. It's a shame I can't share it, although inside I'm bursting to tell them everything. Gilly steps forward, tapping her fingertips together while wearing a worried expression.
So, you guys all cool now?
Yeah, Maxis says with a smile. But don't expect a wrestling match. That gives everyone a laugh. Yeah, we're good, I say. But it's time to get on with the mission. I shift gears mentally, preparing for the challenge to come. Where exactly is this thing, Val? Val Helena steps forward, and I can see that, despite the joke we all just shared, her countenance hasn't really shifted from the pensive stare she held before. Perhaps it's a bit of trepidation now. Her mission to save her best friend and sister, the possibility of finding out her true fate, is finally coming to a head. I'll lead the way, she says. We follow behind the half-giant goddess as we make our way through the rocky shale. The land is desolate and barren, and the air warms the further we travel. Cliffs rise on either side of us as we make a cut through a portion of the mountain range. Eventually, it becomes a narrow channel that ends at a cliff face, not unlike a crack in a wall. We stop and peer out the exit into what looks like a massive caldera that's at least a couple miles across. The earth is cracked and worn, made of the same dark shale we've been walking on for the last 20 minutes. To the south, the ridge of the caldera is lined with the thick forest that leads upward into the mountains.
That must be a mountain pass, Rembrandt says, pointing toward it. We cut off a good bit of time, that's for sure.
No doubt. Though we had to run a gauntlet through the wild, getting up and over the towering mountains I see before me wouldn't have been a picnic either. Where's the Shadow King? I ask. It spawns at the center of the basin down there, Val Helena points. It should react to us when we get close. Once we kill it, a portal to the labyrinth will appear. It only lasts a moment, though, so we'll have to be quick to enter. She pauses, and then adds, And then the real hard part starts. Maxis rubs the small of her back. Hey, your sister's going to be fine. We got here as fast as we could. My brother gives me a nod. Thanks to him. Yes, she says, looking back at me. Thank you for that, Rhys. I smile and nod. No problem. So, what's the game plan? What should we expect? You're the quarterback, Val, Iko says, nudging her. Set the play. The giantess blows out a sigh as she thinks about it. Well, as for the mob itself, I'll defer to you, Iko, since you're the one who's tanked it.
All I know is that its attacks are really fast, and it has this AoE move it can spam.
Sounds good so far, I joke.
When the arena spawns, there will be three pillars at the edges, Val continues, indicating where with a wave of her hand. When the boss moves to the center of the arena, it'll use energy from the pillars to power up. After it does, an arena-wide attack goes off. We need to destroy at least two of the pillars to survive it, three if possible. They each have a different color. I'll call out which color pillar to attack first, so we can focus it down fast. Gilly, even you'll need to DPS during that phase.
Got it, she says.
Right after the AoE goes off, we'll need to run to Gilly so she can heal us up with a great heal.
Understood, Rembrandt says.
Does it spawn any adds? Maxis asks.
Yes, Iko says. Two miniatures of itself. They're fairly tough, too, but I can tank them for you.
Will it be okay to leave Rhys on the boss alone like that?
Valhelena asks.
I shrug.
I'll have the ring. I should be okay, right?
If not, I can tank the adds myself, Maxis says with a flex of his neck.
Iko grins at him.
Okay, Mr. Macho. We'll see how you do on the first set. Don't be afraid to call me if you get your panties in a bunch.
What should I be doing? Gilly asks.
Your main focus should be Rhys at all times, Valhelena says. But during the ad phases, you'll need to keep an eye on the rest of us too.
Rhys will need some kind of regen on him too, Iko says. That ring will drain his HP fast.
How fast? I ask.
She shrugs.
Put it on and find out.
I summon the ring from my inventory and slip it onto my finger. A pulse of sickness courses through me.
You take minus 50 poison damage.
Whoa, that was a lot.
And then, 2 seconds later,
you take minus 50 poison damage.
I hastily remove the ring.
25 HP a second. That's going to be rough.
I do some quick math in my head.
I don't think I'll be able to last more than a minute with that thing on before I croak.
My regen spell should help double that, Gilly says. I'll make sure you stay topped up. Don't worry.
Iko looks at me and frowns.
One more thing. Follow me, pretty boy. Just you.
Iko exits the small crevice we're hiding in and walks around the edge of the cliff face until she's out of view. I glance around at everyone else to get an idea of what's going on, but they look as clueless as I am.
You coming?
She calls from around the corner. I share a shrug with Gilly and then follow her. When I round the corner, I stop in my tracks. Iko is standing there, wearing nothing but her elven underwear and a sexy smile.
Strip,
she commands.
Huh?
Gilly.
What's going on?
Me.
I don't know.
Iko lets out one of her trademark cackles.
Come on, don't leave me hanging.
I get a trade request.
Iko wishes to trade with you.
Iko offers you 1 dark shinobi mask, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 30 TP. 1 dark shinobi gi, plus 150 HP, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 30 agility, plus 30 dodge. 1 warrior's teko, plus 75 HP, plus 20 agility, plus 20 dexterity, plus 20 strength, plus 20 vitality. 1 ninja hakama, plus 150 HP, plus 30 dodge, plus 30 agility. 1 dark shinobi kyahan, plus 75 HP, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 20 dodge.
My eyes go wide.
Whoa,
you're giving me your gear?
I'm loaning it to you, she clarifies. I definitely want this stuff back. It's prestige gear. But since you're going to main tank, you might as well have the full package. This gear should give you an extra couple hundred HP, too.
Sweet.
I quickly remove my gear and put it in my inventory before I load it up in the trade window. I'm just about to confirm the trade when Gilly steps around the corner. I nearly laugh when I see the daggers that shoot from her eyes straight toward Iko.
What's going on?
She huffs with a scowl, her hands on her hips. Both Iko and I burst out laughing at the same time.
It's not what you think, hun, Iko says with a wink. Although, a girl can dream, I suppose.
I blush at that one, made worse when Aiko gives me a sultry stare. Gilly turns her daggers toward me.
Reese? We're just swapping gear, I say, with palms raised.
I hit the confirm button.
You receive a dark shinobi mask. You receive a dark shinobi gi. You receive a warrior's teko. You receive a ninja hakama. You receive a dark shinobi kyahan.
I place the gear on my body and model for her.
See?
Gilly squints her eyes at me again, but playfully this time.
You just saved yourself a butt-whooping, bucko. Nice improvement, though.
I take a look at my awesome new ninja gear and can't help but agree. Aiko puts on my old level 65 stuff and looks far less so. She sighs.
Wish I could say the same.
Now it's Gilly and my turn to laugh. The rest of the crew arrives then and share in the brief release of tension. It's probably needed for what we're about to face. I take a quick peek at my stats with my new gear on.
Name, Reese. Class, ninja. Level, 85. Strength, 6 plus 20. Dexterity, 80 plus 100. Agility, 80 plus 160. Intelligence, 4. Mind, 6. Vitality, 31 plus 20. HP, 1,732 of 1,732. Stamina, 357 of 357, plus 50. TP, 261 of 261, plus 80.
Wow, I say, amazed. I have over 200 agility right now.
Prestige gear is no joke, Aiko says, which is why I want it back.
That reminds me of something. Speaking of giving things back, I think I owe you something too, Val. The giantess glances down at me, puzzled.
Huh?
I produce the ring she gave me back when we were in the shards.
You send a trade request to Val Helena. You offer a black onyx ring. Black onyx ring, rare, no class or level restriction. Plus 2% TP regeneration every second.
She laughs, and then shifts her gaze to Gilly.
I think it best you wear it, Gilly. With over 1k TP, a 2% per second gain is nothing to sneeze at.
You're right about that one, Rembrandt says. Put it on, Gills.
I cancel the trade and reinitiate it with Gilly. She chuckles.
Thanks, Val.
Gilly.
I guess I get to keep it this time, huh?
I think back to when Gilly first wore it, back in that low-level dungeon. The murky swamps, I think it was.
Man, that seems a lifetime ago now.
We complete the trade, and Gilly places the ring on her finger, showing it off like it's a wedding band or something.
I guess, since we're all gearing up, I might as well optimize too, Val Helena says.
Her eyes light up with her HUD and her gear changes. The red sports bra disappears, replaced by an ornate blue breast piece with an underlay of tight wrappings. Although it's not as sexy, it still looks just as impressive.
What's that do? I ask. A little less damage, but more HP and defense, she says.
If we're going to be taking AoEs, I want to have as big a buffer as possible for Gilly to heal me up.
Don't worry,
Gilly says with a grin.
I got you guys.
Are we ready then?
Maxis asks, shaking loose his shoulders. We all look at one another and nod.
I guess so, I say. Let's go kill us a Shadow King.
We descend down toward the center of the caldera. The air is much hotter now, and I marvel at the thick forest at the base of the mountain as we cut across the wide pass leading up its slopes. I didn't think anything would be capable of growing out here. Maybe it can't in the caldera itself. The tree line is quite well defined and cuts off sharply at the caldera's edge, much like the grass did at the edge of the wild. Though whatever is heating the air must also be aiding the growth of the forest.
Your awareness increased by 0.1.
A strange feeling creeps up my spine as we place our backs to the mountains and head further into the caldera. I can't tell exactly what it is, though. Maybe it's just nerves. We are about to face off against a monster 10 times tougher than a world boss, after all.
Maybe we should buff, I say, when we get about halfway down to the center.
Good call,
Val Helena says, and stops.
I can't remember exactly where it spawns,
Wouldn't want us to trigger it unprepared. Gilly buffs the entire party with major favor of the goddess and protection, giving us a decent defense buff and extra HP, stamina, and TP. We then do our individual things, enhancing ourselves for the battle to come. I keep it simple with Shadow Tendrils, Shadow Haste, and Shadow Copy. As expected, the haste spell Gilly casts on everyone doesn't stack with my ninja version. But that's fine. I'll be using the ring anyway. I check my stats in the corner of my HUD, where the party list sits, to see what kind of increase the 10% buff from Major Favor just provided. Reese, level 85 ninja. HP, 1,905 of 1,905. Stamina, 392 of 392. TP, 287 of 287. Wow! Over 1,900 HP! Not bad. When should I put on the ring, you think? I ask Aiko as we start down the slope again. After we engage the boss, Aiko says. I can take it off you for a second so you can put it on during combat. Gilly, that'll be your cue to give him a regen. Okie dokie. I chuckle at her cute response. Sometimes I wonder how Gilly stays so chipper. No matter the circumstances, she always has a smile. She really is the most awesome girl in the world. I reach over and take her hand. We share a smile, just as the ground shakes. Your awareness increased by 0.1. What the he- My sentence goes unfinished as the ground cracks open beneath our feet. High-pitched screeches fill the air as I'm buffeted by a flurry of wind. Something dark shoots up out of the cracks. Spread out! Valhelena yells. With Gilly's hand in mine, I jump across the cracks to firm ground and look behind me to figure out what's going on. With some distance between us, I'm able to see that the blackness spewing from the cracks is actually the wings of bats. Hundreds of them. They pour out of the earth, but when I look closer, I see that they're not bats at all. They're giant eyeballs with bat wings. I shudder at the sight of them and focus on one to see what they are. Wing Eye. Level 85. N.A. Affinity? ? I forgot about these, Valhelena shouts, pulling her giant axe from her back. We kill them to make the boss spawn. Don't let them stun you. As soon as she says it, one of the eyeball monsters flashes like a camera going off. I see stars, and the world turns bright white. Gilly cries out next to me, and I lose my shadow. I feel bat wings and sharp teeth scraping against my armor, some of them biting through. Ah! The wing eye hits you. You take 157 damage. The wing eye hits you. You take 151 damage. Crap! These little things hit pretty hard. I immediately think of Gilly and fear for her safety, but she's already one step ahead of me. Soothing warmth washes over me as she casts a great heal spell, returning our health bars to full. Rembrandt's pistols are going non-stop, and I get XP updates as he picks off the monsters. You defeated the Wing Eye. You gain 5,900 experience points. You defeated the Wing Eye. You gain 5,900 experience points. You defeated the Wing Eye. You gain 5,900 experience points. You defeated the Wing Eye. You gain 5,900 experience points. I guess Rembrandt was immune to the flash thanks to his tech shades. I endure a few more scrapes from the nasty eye bat creatures until finally the blindness debuff wears off. My vision returns to see them swarming around us like a tornado. I slash at one of the bulbous creatures as it flies close and kill it in two hits. You defeated the Wing Eye. You gain 5,900 experience points. These things have nothing for hit points, I yell, slicing into some more. Yeah, if you can hit 'em, Valhelena says, chopping nothing but air with her big axe. I never gave thought to their defense being just like mine. High agility and evasion. With over 150 dexterity for accuracy now, I guess I didn't really notice it was an issue. Valhelena, however, has to resort to whipping her huge weapon in an AoE spin attack to solve her accuracy problem, taking down four more eyes in the process. Maxis takes them down using jump kicks, picking off one or two at a time. Aiko does much the same as me, slicing them out of the air with precision strikes. Rembrandt does most of the heavy lifting, blasting them out of the sky with impeccable accuracy and in rapid succession. I down a couple more myself, and then the last of them falls, leaving us in a sea of twitching bat wings and busted eyeballs.
Ew, gross, Gilly says, making an icky face.
I nearly laugh, until the ground shakes beneath our feet again.
Is this it? Get back to back, Maxis shouts.
We do, just as three enormous crystals punch through the surface of the ground. They're shaped like the obelisk I saw back in Brook Run, but where that one was only 4 feet tall, these ones are closer to 30 and thick like tree trunks. Just as Val Helena said, they're different colors. One red, one blue, and one green.
Arcs of bright white lightning shoot out from between them, forming a triangular arena space about half the size of a football field.
No one mentioned that we'd be penned in for this fight. While the area is still fairly large, the idea that we can't just run away sends a new wave of anxiety coursing through my body.
Lightning shoots from the pillars, right at us. I let out a cry and jump back reflexively, but the lightning lances way above our heads and meets at a focal point in the center of the triangular ring. A dark globe forms at the center, expanding outward. The corpses of the eye wings dissolve, collapsing into a cloud of black nanodust that swirls and streams magnetically toward the orb.
This is it, Val Helena cries.
I can hear the anxiety in her voice, and her eyes are wide.
It's coming!
My heart jackhammers in my chest as my palms grow slick with sweat.
This is it.
The reason Val Helena brought me here. I can't let her down now. I've got to beat this thing, no matter how strong it is. The black orb grows in size, and then bursts apart in a crackle of dark energy. A horrid wail pierces the air, loud enough for me to cover my ears.
That sound.
A creature the size of a mountain troll emerges from the orb. 20 feet tall, but lanky, with a body of dark, sinewy smoke and the face of a skull. It unhinges its gaping jaw and wails, its throat a furnace of molten fire. My heart stops.
It can't be.
My mind comes undone as I face one of the creatures from my nightmare.
It's one of them.
It's one of them. Chapter 41. Shadow King. My blood turns to ice as the monstrous being releases another howl and charges at me like a sprinter out of the blocks. The ground shakes with its rapid footfalls, its massive body moving impossibly fast. Its spindly arms, long like telephone poles, swing wildly back and forth, throwing shale into the air as it closes the gap between us. It gets within 50 feet before its stats appear on my HUD.
Shadow King. Level? Question mark. N.A. Affinity? Question mark.
My mind freezes with panic and incomprehension. How could this thing be here? I told Iko and Val what those giants looked like. Why didn't they tell me that the Shadow King was one of them?
Rhys!
Iko screams at me.
What are you doing? Rhys!
Iko's shrill cry wakes me from my shock-induced coma, and I react with a scream of my own. I manage to force it into a war cry, and the monster focuses on me. Its arms are so long that they reach me even from 20 feet away. It takes all my concentration to duck under them. The arms come whipping right back, and suddenly it feels like I'm fighting against Ulli Theeli all over again. My new agility must be compensating something fierce, though, because despite my panic, I'm able to squeeze through each hit.
Careful of the sword in its right hand, Val Helena yells as she charges toward the beast. It can extend like a whip.
Sword? What the heck is she talking about? Are these guys seeing the same thing I am?
What sword? I yell.
Val Helena buries her axe in the creature's shin and then shoots me a confused stare.
What?
Holy crap. Am I hallucinating?
Shut up and focus, Maxis yells.
He changes stance and begins pounding into the monster's other leg. My brother's right. I don't know what the heck is going on here, but I don't have time to ponder it right now. I have to keep us alive. And tank. I release a yell as I strike back with full fury, fighting down my fear. The monster keeps me at bay with its long arms, but I strike at them too, even as they flail at me with lightning-quick speed. It releases another wail, but this time, a concentric ring of fire comes blasting from its chest, radiating across the arena.
Boom!
Aiko and I lose our shadows, while the rest of the team loses about a third of their HP each. For Gilly and Rembrandt, it's closer to half.
Back up, you guys!
I call out to them. Gilly retreats a bit, out of range of the AoE, and then raises her bow to cast a spell. Gilly casts Great Heal 4. You recover 0 HP. Gilly recovers 376 HP. Maxis recovers 366 HP. Valhelena recovers 374 HP. Rembrandt recovers 355 HP. Aiko recovers 0 HP.
Aiko recasts her shadow copy and performs a backstab, reducing the monster's health by about 2%. It flails about, and its right arm extends like an elastic band, whipping at Aiko, who narrowly dodges the attack.
Put on the ring,
she cries, fending off the flailing arms with her kunai. I've got to make this quick. I materialize the ring and slip it on, enduring the 50 HP hit to my health bar. A green light washes over me.
Gilly casts Rejuvenate. You are slowly regaining HP.
I wait a second to see just how much the spell helps, and note that it cuts the minus 50 loss to minus 30. Not bad. I recast Shadow Copy and am amazed to see a mere 4-second recast timer. Wow. This ring was definitely worth the trip to hell and back. I check the monster's HP bar and see that it's only at 95%, despite Valhelena hacking at it constantly. Maxis landing hit after hit, and Rembrandt peppering it with a stream of bullets. Gilly casts Second Wind on the Cyberpunker, and a heal on Aiko when she messes up a dodge, losing her shadow and taking a huge hit that wipes out half her health bar.
Hurry up!
Aiko screams in a panic. Crap. I rush forward and hit it with a backstab of my own before yelling with war cry.
Face me!
The Shadow King spins with an AoE attack that wipes out my shadow, and then it spins back to perform another one. Its clawed hand strikes me hard, and bone-numbing pain fills my body.
Arrgh!
The Shadow King hits you. You take 753 damage.
Dang, that was a lot for one hit. I wince in pain. I can't afford to take another one like that. I cast Shadow Copy, and the spell goes off in less than a second, narrowly saving me from another AoE spin attack. I weave through a couple more normal swipes from its claws before I get my shadow up again. This ring sure is a lifesaver, but it's killing me too. Gilly tops up my health with another heal, and I focus to get some kind of rhythm going. The world slows as I force myself into the zone and forget about what it is I'm facing. It's just another monster. It has a pattern like everything else. I just need to learn it. I take another couple claws as I screw up a couple times, losing my shadow and recasting between hits. Gilly is quick to respond, however, and keeps me close to full. I slide and roll across the shale to avoid the long sweeps of its arms, which I realize now must look like swords to everyone else. I especially need to be wary of the whip one. More than a few times, it's pegged me because I dodged the initial attack, but then got hit when it extended. I lose track of time. It's only when conditions change that I note our progress. We hit the 70% mark on the boss's HP, and a room-wide message appears. Shadow King readies Pulse Fire. Aiko lets out a curse in what I think is Elven. She locks eyes with me.
Rhys, pull it to the edge of the arena. Everyone to the opposite side.
What? We didn't practice this.
What's going on?
It's about to do its AoE spam, Aiko says.
Keep Shadow Copy up as much as you can. Gilly, keep him alive.
Her words cause my heart to jump into my throat. What the heck is about to happen? I perform retreat to gain some distance, and then lure the massive creature in my direction as the rest of the party runs the opposite way. When I reach the fence line, it does the same AoE move again, sending out a wave of fire from its chest as it releases an ear-shattering wail, only this time, it goes off about once every other second.
Holy crap!
I lose my shadow and freak out. I recast Shadow Copy as soon as I can, but the waves of AoEs keep coming, hitting me like a freight train and singeing my skin.
Shadow King uses Pulse Fire. Your shadow absorbs the attack.
You take 618 damage. You take 623 damage. You take 621 damage.
My heart jumps when I see my HP chopped to a sliver, and then stops completely when I see the actual number.
43 of 1,905 HP.
Oh, God. Shadow Copy slips off cooldown, and I recast it just in time before the next wave lands.
Your shadow absorbs the attack.
But then the poison kicks in.
You take minus 30 poison damage. 13 of 1,905 HP.
No!
Gilly casts Heal 5. You regain plus 1,892 HP.
My knees go weak with relief as I'm topped back up to full, but the slams keep coming.
Gilly, keep healing!
I scream in panic.
Don't stop!
I recast Shadow Copy every moment I can, and go from watching my damage to just how close I come to death before Gilly heals me up each time.
14 of 1,905 HP. 23 of 1,905 HP. 27 of 1,905 HP. 17 of 1,905 HP.
The attack finally stops, and the beast turns away from me as if uninterested.
Holy crap! I can't believe I survived that!
My heart is pounding like I just ran a marathon. I'm flooded with relief, but it lasts only a second before panic hits. I fear the boss might be going for Gilly. I yell at it with a war cry, but it continues forward, undeterred. I call out to her.
Gilly!
She casts another heal spell on me, topping me up.
I got you!
Don't! She thought I was calling for another heal, and I did need one, but she's about to get hit now. A second later, I see I needn't have worried after all. The Shadow King reaches the middle of the arena and stops before slowly rising into the air.
The pillar phase!
Valhelena screams.
Red first!
I look for the pillar and see that it's across the arena. I dash for it and charge strike the rest of the way, shooting under the Shadow King. It's encased now in a blue sphere, lightning arcing from each pillar, powering it with energy, as indicated by a red bar that slowly fills underneath it. It doesn't take me long to figure out something bad is going to happen when that bar reaches full. I get to the pillar in time to see Valhelena and Maxis already slamming it, attacking with rabid ferocity. Rembrandt shoots it from afar, and Gilly blasts it with holy fire. Iko and I do our part as well, whittling it down with a flurry of small critical hits.
How the heck did you survive that AoE without the ring?
I say to Iko. She cackles while slashing into the pillar.
I didn't, remember? Man, this is crazy.
The health bar on the pillar goes black, and the crystal fades to a dark gray. The arc of lightning feeding the creature's shell disappears. Two left.
Green!
Valhelena shouts. We repeat the process, chopping it down just as fast.
Blue!
We down the final one, and then Val screams again.
Everyone group up on Gilly! Rebuff!
We follow her commands and refresh our buffs. I have to admit, it's a comfort to have Valhelena calling the moves play by play. It reminds me that she's been a guild leader for a long time now. Seeing her in her true form is awe-inspiring. Above us, the blue shield surrounding the Shadow King shifts to red, glowing as the bar reaches full.
Shadow King readies ultimate demise.
Here it comes! Val screams.
The sphere explodes, and a wave of red-hot energy engulfs us.
Shadow King uses ultimate demise. Your shadow absorbs the attack.
Aside from me and Iko, our party's hit points all go down by the same number, though the bars differ significantly. Gilly goes down by about 3/4, Rem and Maxis by half, and Valhelena's barely moves at all.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, Maxis says.
Because we destroyed all the pillars,
Valhelena says. Thanks to you two.
Damn, you guys got high DPS.
All me, love.
Rembrandt cracks a grin while spinning his pistols.
Let's stay focused,
Iko cuts in, readying her blades in a reverse grip.
The ads are about to spawn.
Not a second later, the Shadow King hits the arena floor, and two smaller demons emerge from the ground in wisps of black smoke. Just as Iko said, they look like smaller versions of the Shadow King. At least to me, anyway. I still don't know what the heck everyone else is seeing.
I got them,
Maxis says, charging forward. Let me take one, Iko shouts with a war cry to pull the second lesser demon toward her.